NPR.
Hey, everyone. This is the Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Cardiff Garcia. And today is the last installment of Finance Fridays with Mary, in which my friend, Barron's reporter Mary Childs, has been coming in to explain the world of finance to all of us. Mary, the reason it's your last for a while, your last Finance Friday with Mary, is that you're joining Planet Money next week.
That's correct.
This has been a lot of fun, though, I gotta say.
It's
so
been a total
hopefully
delight.
We'll still do these from time to time in the future.
Please, let's.
Yeah. So for your semi-valedictory Finance Friday with Mary, what have you got for us?
So I have a story about nuns. These nuns cared about stemming the tide of gun violence, and they realized that gun control legislation wasn't going to pass anytime soon, so they decided to get practical, and they turned to the market.
The market.
That's right.
Okay. All right.
The nuns brought stock to a gunfight.
Whoa. Oh, you've been saving that one up.
I literally have.
Okay, fair enough. And all that is coming up. I'm intrigued right after the break.
Support for this episode of The Indicator and the following message come from Capital One. Ken Dodolin and his team built Eno, the intelligent assistant, who proactively alerts customers to fraud and other account activity.
We know people are just trying to live their lives, and we try to empower Eno to only interrupt them from their life when absolutely necessary, just like you would want a human assistant to do.
Stay tuned after the episode to learn how Ken and his team at Capital One programmed Eno to proactively help customers manage their finances.
Okay, so Mary, this story of nuns who are trying to get their way on gun control, where does it start?
It starts with a group called the Interfaith Center on Corporate Responsibility, or ICCR.
Yeah, you showed me their website earlier, Mary. It's like this coalition of some 300 groups, and it includes members who are like just traditional financial institutions, but it also has these faith-based groups, and that's where the nuns come in. So Mary, what is the story about ICCR that you want to tell us?
So back in 2012, there was a mass shooting at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut, and 26 people died, 20 of whom were children. And when politicians failed to do really anything in response to that, ICCR felt like they had to do something about it. So I spoke with Sister Judy Byron. She's the director of a regional group within ICCR.
And I remember Sandy Hook and thinking, you know, if we don't do something now as a country, we never will. I mean, these are little kids. And we know that, you know, there was movement, but we basically did nothing.
Here's where the story takes a turn into our world, finance. Normally, investors who consider themselves socially responsible, like these nuns, would not buy what are called sin stocks, shares of companies that do bad stuff, like make guns or cigarettes or whatever. On the other hand, these nuns also realized that being a shareholder of these companies means corporate management should have to listen to them because they're the owners.
Yeah, I mean, you would think that being a shareholder is at least supposed to give you access to the managers.
Right. You can attend shareholder meetings and speak. You can request a meeting and you might even get one. So since relying on politicians didn't really work, ICCR decided to turn to the markets because the markets at least have these rules and levers that actually can work. So in the fall of 2016, they started buying shares. They bought shares in two of the major gun makers, Sturm Ruger and American Outdoor Brands. Not a huge number of shares, but some.
Okay, so these nuns, the ICCR, this coalition of religious groups, they've started putting their money where their principles are, so to speak. And then what?
So the next summer, we're now into 2017, they privately wrote to the companies trying to kind of engage them in conversation. No dice. A little time goes by, and in January of last year, they quietly began to file shareholder resolutions, which are basically cordial corporate requests from shareholders for management to please consider something. So the nuns wanted basically three things. First, for these gun companies simply to report on their efforts to make their products safer. Second, for the gun companies also to prepare reports on the reputational and financial risks from their products. And third, for them to monitor violent events like mass shootings. But not much came of these resolutions.
Okay.
And then came Parkland.
So Parkland, of course, this was the very tragic mass shooting from early last year that I think a lot of people remember.
That's right. February 14th, 2018, a shooter killed 17 students and faculty and injured 17 more at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. And that catalyzed this huge wave of outrage, right, over gun violence and gun control. But once again, a lot of people were disappointed by the political response, disappointed that no new laws were passed. Here's Sister Judy again.
We just can't let the kids do the heavy lifting in our society. We really need to step up and be with them and also show leadership.
So the nuns and ICCR decided to act more forcefully. So first they joined other activists in criticizing the banks that lend money to the gun companies. But second, remember those shareholder resolutions that they'd quietly, gently sent to the companies asking them to report on how they were making guns safer and the companies kind of blew them off? This time, ICCR went public with those resolutions and put them to a shareholder vote. And the shareholder resolutions passed with huge support.
Okay, so, I mean, in that case, it kind of sounds like they won.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, they did get their reports. In the reports, the companies defend themselves by saying that the problem isn't the people who buy their products. It's the criminals doing bad things. But the truth is, the reports themselves are kind of toothless. They don't really compel the companies to change anything that they actually do. They're just a sign that they've complied with what shareholders asked. But it's something. ICCR did show that they could get something from the gun companies.
Yeah, it sounds from the way you're describing it that this is a kind of symbolic victory. I mean, these reports, as you described them, are kind of toothless. But you still have a situation where this group of nuns and these other religious groups did compel companies to do something.
Right.
And they compelled them to do something using the markets rather than like other forms of persuasion. So what's happening now?
So for the nuns, it seems like some of the momentum has dissipated. This past Tuesday at the annual shareholder meeting for American Outdoor Brands, ICCR had another resolution up for a vote. It was asking the company to adopt a human rights policy in line with the UN's guiding principles, but that vote did fail. So ICCR is still at it. They're hoping that the more noise they make, the more reputational pressure they put on the companies will have some impact on the shares and the company's trajectory. And maybe someday that will lead to a bigger change. But Sister Judy says they're in it for the long haul.
We started with the issue of apartheid in South Africa. And, you know, that was in 1971. And finally, it was in 1994 when there were free elections. So this issue of gun violence, we hope it's not that long, but, you know, we're not going to go away because we really believe that they have a critical role in this, in solving this.
Mary, this story is interesting because I think that when a lot of folks try to influence the way a company does business, they think of maybe boycotting the product and showing they're not interested. This was totally different. These nuns actually bought shares in the company. They actually decided that by owning a part of the company, that was the approach that they would take instead.
Yeah, and it's kind of in concert with this broader movement. I think this becomes more effective in that broader context of people saying now that corporations have a bigger responsibility. It's not just to generate profits. It's also a responsibility to the society in which they operate.
Mary Childs, thanks so much.
Thank you.
This episode of The Indicator was produced by Darius Rafieyan. It was edited by Patty Hirsch and fact-checked by Nadia Lewis. The Indicator is a production of NPR.
The following message comes from our sponsor, Capital One.
I'm Ken Dodolin. I'm VP of Conversational AI Products at Capital One, and I lead the team building Eno. Eno is an AI that is focused on financial matters. We've taught Eno to do lots of things on behalf of customers, and then Eno brings the important things to you. Eno shows up in push notifications, text messages, emails, on our website, in our mobile app. Eno is wherever our customers want to interact and get help with their money. So the way we train Eno to understand what customers are saying involves humans. We wanted to make sure that we didn't train Eno to understand the world as one person would through only their background and experiences. We've brought in lots of folks with many diverse backgrounds to broaden Eno's understanding of the different ways that people will ask questions and communicate with Eno. We also realized that we need to create a little bit of a personality when we were thinking about developing the character and the name and other personal characteristics we might provide. We thought about all the unconscious biases that those things might evoke. And so at Capital One, we have a very diverse and inclusive culture, and we thought a gender-neutral name was a nice outward expression of that in a product.
To meet Eno, the Capital One assistant, go to CapitalOne.com/Eno.